Kick its ass.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Good audio quality is like the glasses of the voice.
Yes.
The glasses of the voice sounds like a fucking last minute drama degree, like final essay. Fucking just gonna throw these things down a flight of stairs to grade them anyway. I might as well just do the glasses of the voice.
Throw them all down a flight of stairs, whatever is high up the stairs.
Gets a
first.
And that's, I mean, I don't know if you know about, but he wasn't a man to want to walk upstairs lightly, so. A bungalow kind of guy, you know?
Yeah. You know what they say, those who can't do a sit-up teach drama.
You know, I don't even pick on him particularly, but you know those lecturers that, like, they're
our double lecturers.
Few of them in the drama department, actually. You know the ones that the college just tolerates squirreling away somewhere doing as little work related to the thing they're supposed to be doing as possible, and they seem to get away with it by just ornery.
But doing anything else would imply that the college knows what they're supposed to be doing.
That's true. And if you don't interact with undergrads ever, then the only source of anyone complaining about you is gone. I understand why they want to do it that way. And the teacher's assistants are just as qualified. I mean, if I was going into the drama department thinking I was getting Nick Johnson and I got Dan Bergen instead, I mean, that'd be the same. I mean, it probably would actually be the same. I mean, it's drama. Who cares?
It's drama.
Both equally irrelevant.
It's like the people who are going to make it, it's been obvious since they were 12. Everyone else, it doesn't matter what you teach them, they're fucked anyway.
Yeah, if you're like, okay, I'm going to go into my drama degree and it's either going to be Nick Johnson or Dan Bergen. It's like, I'm either going to fail at making Beckett or I might succeed at making video games. Either way, it's not my dream.
It's the funniest class in the world. They do one economics class, economics for drama graduates. And it's literally just two charts. One of them is rents in London and the other one is parents' salaries.
I believe Mark Atkinson, friend of the show, was brought in as a sort of, you know, temp professor to do the sort of the bit that is, what does a career in the arts actually look like? Yeah. And, you know, here's the like, I'm currently and trying to do.
You're looking at it, kids.
It's very much that. It's very much like, lads, like, here's all the stuff that sucks about it. And you've heard stories about three people who've been successful, and those stories happen over 50 to 70 years.
Yeah. Like, Professor Atkinson, Professor Atkinson, why is the tip of your nose a different color to the rest of your face? Interesting question. I mean, I could literally sit here answering it all day, telling you about how I've put my nose right up every working director in the country's arts for the last 10 years. Alternatively, as I suggested, you could all just bring me a nice glass of wine and shut up.
And in fairness,
that's what success looks like.
And in fairness, he'd be the first one to say, I forget the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, I did say email.
I did say email.
What a burn. What a great guy. From our dusty cellars, hearkening back to a simpler time when abortions crossed borders and migrants were safe, legal, and rare. It's the final countdown.
Ah, the good old days. She's 18?
Yeah, wasn't that long ago.
Is that what we're talking about?
I'm telling you, I'm actually economically conservative but socially liberal. That's cool. The thing everyone is great. You legend.
Give me my money and let me fuck who I want.
Give me enough money and I'll fuck the lot of you. apropos of nothing in particular, Leo Varadkar was in Ranelagh Village, but this very day.
Oh!
Actually, it was yesterday, but by the time this episode comes out, it won't have been either. So, but this very day. For the purpose
but this very day. For the sake of the story, but this very day.
And did you connect?
Yeah, we hooked up, a little fist bump action.
Nice.
Yeah, and he recognized you from your incredible valiant efforts in Young Fine Gael.
He did.
Of which he is maybe still a member given their age requirements.
He did. We both had to leave the same year. We both had to leave in 2023. It was a rough old time. He nearly had to resign the Taoiseach ship over it.
Wow. Young Fine Gael, that powerful.
It's more powerful than regular Fine Gael. It's kind of like
Kingmakers.
I don't know if you remember that period in New Japan when Nakamura had the Intercontinental belt and I don't know, someone like Naito had the heavyweight, and the Intercontinental belt was more important than the heavyweight.
Yeah, look, sometimes the belt makes the man and sometimes the man makes the belt.
And believe me, that belt was holding up some big trousers.
Hell yeah. Are we still talking about Leo?
We are sort of in a very roundabout way talking about Leo. Big fan of
there
wrestling.
There was one benefit to him upgrading to adult Fine Gael, which is he's now allowed to have regular Guinness. Because it's baby just Guinness. Baby Guinness for the young Fine Gael members all the way up. But they have to drink it at the same rate.
Yeah, they do. They've just split the G on a little bit. That is such a young Fine Gael. A drink of choice to be like 16 baby Guinness is placed round for the table. Yeah. But it's like, so this is taking up a lot of my barman hours, you see, to do this. Like, hey buddy, I pay an accountant so I don't pay my taxes. Look, you give me that baby Guinness and I'm here for people to get up to the bar early in the morning. That was Brian Cowan's strategy. And boy, did it work for him for a while.
Yeah. That's just not true. He didn't even bother going as far as the bar to do his drinking.
That's true, though. He already did. I once observed him. He was upstairs in the Glenside at some sort of Fianna Fáil function, and the entire pub was just sending him over drinks every like 2 minutes. And he pulled aside one of the lounge boys. He's like, "Listen, if you fucking beat me over any more gin and tonic, I'm gonna walk out of here and nobody's getting paid." Even he was defeated by the sheer like flight squadron of gin and tonics that had assembled. It was like, you see, you know, Independence Day when they go to attack the mothership and like you think it's just a ship, but then all the little ones come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kinda like that with Guinnesses and baby Guinnesses. But at least Brian Cowan was a man who drank gin and tonic.
Yeah,
which went from being the like hard man alcoholic beverage to being like for the girls fancy one for the girls' night out so gradually that I barely even noticed it happened.
I'm gonna go right ahead and say it's making a comeback.
Now you think that that's a change in the culture, but I think that's a change in the people, because a lot of those girls are hard-nosed alcoholics.
It's fucking true, actually. Yeah. But hey, Sandra was using her soft nose.
They're all upgraded to like give me like the vodka soda lime. They're like trying to get as much alcohol per calorie as is humanly available. And if that's not the sign, get drunk, not fat.
Yeah. It's true. And it's, I remember vastly, vastly under, either over or under mess. Anyway, I got the amount of calories in vodka wrong 1 year. it was a great year. It was a good fucking year. And if you mix it with orange juice, it burns belly fat.
You know the way.
I told you that, man.
Belly fat is independently burnable.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, doctors hate me. It's one of those weird old tricks, you know.
What's that one? Remind me, guys. What's that one weird trick to burn belly fat and stay drunk and hot? It's orange juice in your vodka.
Orange juice in the vodka.
Yeah.
If it's just burning,
get that shit over the counter. You know, like you don't need a prescription for that orange juice.
Bit of vitamin C, if you know what I'm talking about. If you tap your nose at the mention of a vitamin, it's like people think you're talking about something else. And most of them could be something else, like vitamin D, obvious.
Obvious, yeah. Vitamin E, obvious.
Yeah, obvious. C,
vitamin H. Vitamin H, pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's a single entendre. There's no actual vitamin H.
That is a single entendre. Yeah.
I don't know
I now have to ask you, what does entendre mean?
It's French word meaning del boy, I think is what it means.
Ah, it's a single del boy. Yeah.
Yeah. They I can't remember which comedian's joke I'm stealing by pointing this out, but it was one of them, which is like they vastly overestimated how many vitamins there was going to be. Like,
B, whoa, it's Demetri Martin, and he's like, well, we're getting through these pretty fast. Let's pause on B for a little bit. Oh, they get to 12, and they're like, I actually think we're almost done.
K, W. I'm Manus Cronin, joining us this week as always is Jack Toner and Gavin Carberry. How you doing, fellas?
Pretty good.
That and more. But before we get into any of that, it's time to get introduced to these beers. Gentlemen, we've gone back remote this week. Increase in sound quality, decrease in sound quality. So there we go. What are you gentle fellas drinking?
I've got a bit rogue here and just picked something out of the garden, picked one fresh. This is a Beamish.
A Beamish? Creamy off Beamish. The Beamish can, tree in your garden.
From a can. And let me tell you, lads, this might have come with the house. Let's find out together. Can't tell.
This is one thing we know for sure. It's that, like, we can't tell the difference between any of the mainstream.
Yeah, we've confirmed this. We're no longer fooling ourselves. Everyone else is.
I have dined out on only a handful of occasions on the beer test, on the stout test that we did.
Oh yeah.
And I was at a party. I was actually just New Year's just gone. And you know, you have your classic lad who's like, oh God, I wouldn't drink a Peroni. Give me that. Estrella or give me a Moretta or give
when it
me
comes
Heineken.
To Italian craft brewing, I know what I want.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm gonna bet that you can't tell the difference between any one of these. And we got like three glasses, poured a bottle of each.
Yeah.
And I think he went 0-3. And then there was some like upstart, this party was, it will surprise you to learn, in Black Rock. And there was some upstart son of an attendee who was like 16, 17. You know, he's like, oh yeah, I know drinking. I've been doing it for weeks.
Wow.
And he was like, I bet I know which one is Heineken. We're like, absolutely. So you send him away and pour him like three glasses of Estrella or something. And he's like, that one's definitely the Heineken. We're like, you're fucking full of shit, you cunt. and it's nice to know that no matter what role you play in that story, it's as fun for everyone involved.
Yeah. It's good that there was the opportunity to do that, Jack, because it is at a house party. I have, like, white-knuckled my way through people telling me about good Guinness and bad Guinness and, like, how they'd never drink Murphy's or Beamish or anything, and just been like, and then occasionally been like, well, I actually did a blind taste test and couldn't tell the difference. And, you know, my favorite was actually Island's Edge. And they're like, no taste, I suppose. It's like, I wish I could get the lazy fucking Susan out and test you, because know this person's full of shit.
Yeah, the Susan's not the only one who's lazy. It is you, sir. It is you who's lazy.
You don't mind them being wrong. It's the smug.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like
they can hold that belief all they want. It's the thinking you're an idiot for, like, actually doing the test.
There's nothing more I hate than somebody being the way I was 2 years ago.
I know.
How dare you?
No. But this came back into circulation as, like, I presume by Guinness themselves trying to do viral marketing, and they're very good at it. Yeah, okay. All of talk radio and all of that chattery journalism was talking about the straight pour, which we also know you can't tell the difference.
I did a straight pour on this, and let me tell you, it was a bit dodgy there a minute ago, but it's really settled in.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, it's, and we've deliberately done it, and every barman in the country, Guinness themselves admit that it's marketing gimmick, and like, just anecdote after anecdote from loser after loser being like, no. Well, no.
And he did a straight pour. Must have been his first day at the bar. Don't worry, I sent it back. It's like, such a fucking...
At which point the barman goes, oh, apologies, sir, puts it under the bar, takes it right back up. There's a nice, freshly double poured. Thank you. I appreciate your commitment to quality. I noticed the Guinness sign with the red background at this particular pub, meaning it's really good for Guinness.
That's hash in it.
It has hash in it.
I just say the so-called Guinness connoisseurs of the world are the intellectual superior of no one.
Yeah,
Johnny the scumbag with a BMX with no brakes and pegs on the back, so he can give his girlfriend a backer, who thinks there's hash in the John Player blue with the holes in the tin foil, is no dumber than Ulton and Finbar at the pub going like, Ulton, can you believe he forgot to piss a shamrock in the head? This is ridiculous. You know, doesn't it? That's what makes it a Guinness on the rocks. And luckily, we still have no such plans.
Can you believe it, Ulton? He forgot to piss a shamrock in the head.
Wait a minute, was that a real thing, or did we just tell all those freshers that was a thing? Actually, Ulton, now that you say it, I don't think we even told the freshers that was a thing. I think we meant to, then we just drank some piss. Is that?
I think we just did it.
Did we just drink piss for like a year straight as a joke? Yeah, that was a funny joke on us, actually, I think.
Us, yeah, really pumped ourselves there.
Although the joke's really not on me, because piss, when it's done with the two-part pour, is actually really nice. When you have the nitro surge, the cans of piss are even okay, to be honest. I mean, I would notice the difference. I'm a connoisseur, but plebs probably wouldn't. Plebs would probably tell you that's the same. Piss is piss, you know, and it's not.
And it's just bloody not.
No, not into any of that craft piss, bloody asparagus in it or anything like that. No, 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 thank you, sir. I'll stick to my Guinness. Thank you very much. And if they don't have that, Bulmers.
And if they do, because I know exactly how ratty that's allowed to be, and that's fine.
It was a beer nut pointed that out to us very early on in this program. He's like, the Irish aren't fussy about Guinness, but they're the most brand loyal people in the world. So you'll see an Irish person go into a craft beer bar and be like, you got Guinness? No. Okay, Heineken. No, this is quite like Heineken. No, Bulmers. Well, this is a craft cider that tastes exactly like Bulmers. No, okay, have you got a baby Guinness? This is actually literally Guinness, but they just forgot to put the badge on the top. Don't want it. Have you got a Tia Maria and Blue Wicket? Is that
Tia Maria and Blue Wicket?
Very fussy about my beverages. There has to be at least three ads on the television. I'll not drink it. It's not Beechwood aged. It's not for me, I'm afraid. Do we discuss that Bud Light is back, baby?
Wait, Bud Light is back.
Wait, Bud Light's back.
It's not gay no more.
How's it back? Those fucking hicks couldn't resist. Couldn't resist that Beechwood aged light beverage.
I have to say, you're dumb for disliking Bud Light because they had a sponsorship deal with a trans person. But if you've made that decision, you are even dumber to have been lured back by the new endorsement by, I think, Kid Rock.
Wait, they actually got Kid Rock? Kid Rock was like the most outspoken person.
I don't think they actually got Kid Rock. I think Kid Rock just went on Joe Rogan and was like, I don't care anymore.
Which is the only valid answer in the first place.
I was shooting them with my guns.
Really lost them some points.
Because when you think about it, either side of the argument is like, I want these damn faggots to be more like Americans. I want them to be drinking light beer. Damn it.
I want them to drink Modelo, though.
Yeah, but maybe not the beer I drink. I want them to not be so different to me, but also somehow not do the things that I've been doing.
Yeah, well, the drunken hicks of the jury all en masse stopped drinking Bud Light because of a trans person and went back to it because I think they went back to like jet planes and horses again for another ad campaign. And it's like,
and the drunken hicks haven't yet developed object permanence, so as soon as
it would appear not.
As soon as a game of Mulvaney or something was off Dylan screen, Mulvaney. They were like,
a game of peekaboo with these scholars is fun for hours. Because it's like you feel like saying to them, if you felt like talking to them at all, that it's like you realize that they don't really care about trans people either. They just thought that would sell more beer, and they don't care about America either. They just thought that would sell more beer. They never cared.
They're not aligned with you. They're aligned with money.
Nor should they be. Stop expecting that from your brands.
Yeah, stop expecting that for every brand.
This is kind of Except particularly. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to overstep there.
Obviously. Yeah, come on. I mean, God, yeah. Keep God out of the kitchen, except there.
Except that.
Don't fuck around with that chicken. I've never. Until Jack told me it was pronounced Chick-fil-A, I thought it was Chick-fil-A. So,
actually, Manus, way better name.
Yeah, I mean, for Ireland it is. You'd have to call it that for here.
Yeah, but they call fillet steak filet mignon.
Oh, they're just a bunch of dummies. Dummies are dummies. The smarties are dumber than the dummies.
You're not wrong.
You know, it's and luckily that doesn't apply to us. We're brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank God it doesn't.
So creamy beamy, 10 out of 10, obviously. Gavin, you were sipping on something there.
I picked up a little Rye River. Backstand APA.
Backstand APA, Acolyte Protection APA.
Sorry, Mandela affected myself there. Backstrand APA. And it's grand. It's fine. It's, a regular old bloody pale ale. It's crisp and tasty. It's not too flavorful. It's fine. You know what? It's just slightly below fine, I would say. I've been given a lot of things like a 7, and I feel like this one isn't as good as a lot of the other ones that I've been drinking. Like,
yeah,
it's grand. If it's handed to me, I will drink it down happily. But having had a few sips, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I need to be a little bit harsher on this one, because it is slightly worse than, like, you know, Hazy Little Thing by Rascals or whatever, which is a 7, you know.
Mm. Yeah, because a seven is a pretty darn good score if you think about it. Like, I mean, it's a first in Trinity. That's for sure. Yeah. We all went.
They lowered the margins on what a first was just for us dummies.
They had to. How does it compare? How does that Farouk compare to the Bradshaw, which is the other APA by Rye River, which is the Crafty Brewing Company's American Pale Wheat Ale? I think it is that we've also reviewed that we actually really quite liked.
Oh yeah, this is very different. Yeah. Like the wheat ale gives that much hazier color. It's much paler, and it tastes of more. It's like sweeter and maltier, I thought, looking back. But yeah, this is grand.
Yeah, and I seem to recall that they are different beers as well, and significantly so. So I would point out to any would-be Guinness connoisseur out there that if you really want to prove us to be the dummies we're accusing you of being, if you can prove they're the same beer...
Prove they're the same beer, we'll hands up, I'm the dummy, yeah.
We'll eat our hats. But no, I agree with you. I seem to recall thinking it was a rebadge and then being disappointed that it wasn't. Because the crafty brewing stuff that they do for either Little or Aldi, I can't remember which... they don't have many of the, like, they do.
No, they have Rye River itself now. They've kind of gone in with their own label. Yeah.
So, like, they do an American brown ale. I think it was an American brown ale that's still available in Lidl or whatever. And it's only there. It's obviously an exclusive. That's just the way the contract is. They do the American wheat. There's a couple of, like, really properly, when I go in there, I'm happy to buy them beers that aren't, you can't just get out in the shop. So I thought when I saw that, I was like, oh, they're finally putting them out, but they don't appear to be. And yeah, I'm having a spooky beer of some description. It's either an Erdinger or a Steigl or Stiegel or whatever, because that's just what's in the Tesco that's across the road. And there's nothing to report back on other than that it's cold and fizzy and I won't be drunk after it, but I probably have an interesting poo in the morning, you know.
Stiegel, are they kind of exclusively, like, Stiegel do a whole heap of Radlers and now they're in a non-alcoholic. Like, are they kind of pitching themselves in the Nab Lab kind of space?
That is where they, I would say, distinguish themselves in this country, particularly in the, you know, the regular just purchasing in a shop off licenses. But it's not, they do have their Gold Brow and there's another one. They do have two regular beers that you can fairly regularly buy as well. But that is where you'll kind of see. I mean, really, I don't see a lot. Stiegel or Stiegel do, however you pronounce it, I believe it's Stiegel, do fit into a category of people who gave us free beer very early on. And so therefore, I've had nothing but nice things to say about them forever.
Oh, I love their Radler. I love their Radlers. And like, it's great to have a Radler option.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a It's nice. It's for a summer's day. It's nice, and it's again 2%. It's unless you like have a problem and you're avoiding alcohol. Unless your name is Manus, no. then like you might as well have one of those instead of a non-alcoholic beer. You could still like I would comfortably drive after a 2% rattler. Like it's not, you know, or whatever, you know. And once you have an Archway afterwards,
as long as you have an Archway, you really need to.
You've like, got to, like, I know it's only 2%. Doctor's orders. It's only 2%. I know they do say when the doctor's away, drink 5 Archway. but I would still have an Archway after a round. They're just a bounce. Just a bounce. Even if it's just a small amount of alcohol, I would just bounce it out. So yeah, I don't know. Like, fucking about this. It's I think it is probably not the Erdinger because it's not like the fizziest thing I've ever drank in the entire universe, which Erdinger consistently is.
It actually sucks fizz out of your body to make itself fizzier. It's,
it does. It's that's what isotonic means, actually. I gotta also say, I've gotta call bullshit on them marketing it as a health drink because it's like healthier than getting pissed. But I wake up after having a couple of non-alcoholics and it's like, man, that didn't do me anything good. Certainly wasn't the hydration superior of water, as you seem to be suggesting. Healthful, full of B vitamins. B vitamins? Ah, well, put some honey in there. That's a B vitamin, isn't it? that's what that is. It's Super Tuesday tonight, gentlemen.
What does that mean?
2-for-1 tacos at the Windy Bar. The bar wasn't windy before the 2-for-1 taco.
Very voting big day. When basically it's all but decided that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the damn nominees.
Except it won't literally be decided tonight. And also it was decided months ago.
Just 15 primaries, and so you can stay up all night and watch the results if you want. But if you want me to like or respect you, you will not do that.
I do remember staying up to watch the actual election coverage in, I believe, 2012 for Obama.
Oh, the Romney cost. I remember that.
The Romney cost. Yeah. Because there was like a thing in college. And it's actually really funny, like thinking back to that night and how many of those people are now writing laws for countries. And it's not all of them. It's far from all of them, but it's not zero.
No, it's not any of the good countries. No, that's for sure.
It's not. Yeah.
It's like this one and America and the UK. Yeah, Sweden. We're like, nah, homie. We got this.
We're fine.
Yeah,
we got you.
We've got Olaf's code that we go by. Do you? Nah. But we just knew you wouldn't know that we didn't. So.
You're the first person to challenge what that might be.
Yeah, you're the product of a non-Scandinavian education system. How the fuck did you know that? your Trinity PhD is worth like a kindergarten degree from here.
That's why North Korea is doing so well.
It is. They're the Scandinavians of Korea.
Up the north, pretty isolationist when you think about it. And
actually, if you just take their propaganda's word for it, then they do have everything figured out.
Yeah.
Like if you're in the
as
South,
long, as, you, as, long just... as there are no further questions on that propaganda.
If you're a bit of a dim bulb from South Korea, and I don't think it's racist to say they've got to have their fair share of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
What percentage of South Koreans do you imagine are like, life's not going too great. Get me up north.
It's some. There's got to be some defector.
It's not.
And up there, they call them Kim bulbs. There's got to be a couple. There's Americans who do it. And they've got to go further. And do you reckon they're even happy when that happens, or they're like, oh fuck, an American's here? What are we?
I think they're like, guys, it's going to be so cheap to make this person feel like they're part of the team. That we get like true. it's some of the cheapest propaganda they get to then make. Be like, Americans are coming here to enjoy our great abundance of groceries.
He just needs bunion surgery. If we give that to him, I mean, he'll be pretty happy with it. I want to think what they do to them in America when they need bunion surgery. I think they just chop their foot off. Aren't we just going to chop his foot off? Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to chop his foot off.
Yeah, but we'll do it for fun. We'll be honest
for crying out loud. Our last two dictators had no feet at all, but I dared anyone to say it. primaries. Yeah, there's at least 15 Republican primaries, which is the slightly more interesting of the two races.
Yeah, Nikki might win one or two. Yeah.
She won her first one. She won the DC primary there yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. Which is simultaneously kind of like unsurprising and also then immediately really underwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you won a primary in a state that's like 99% Democrat. I mean, it's not even a state.
And barely gets to vote in anything anyway.
Yeah, what was the turnout? Because like I imagine it's quite tough for people from DC to crawl out of the swamp.
I'd say probably. We're going to send them back. We're going to send them back to their swamp. That started off as a reasonable Trump, but then it just turned into like someone sitting on the toilet trying to speak.
We're going to
wipe one more time. And if we don't get the poo off, we're going straight into the shower. Yes, we are. It's going to be good. We're going to put the head of the shower in our anus. Yes, we are.
I got a special attachment for the head of my shower.
It's really good.
Let's just give him another voice. Whatever. None of us are great at it.
Yeah, we're not Jamie Foxx.
No, we're not. Or Jeff Foxworthy, even.
Or even Jeff Foxworthy, whoever that may be.
Oh, yeah, actually,
what are the Blue Collar Comedy Tour?
Was he the voice
of Mater in? No.
No, that was not Larry the Cable Guy, wasn't
that
it?
That was Larry the Cable Guy. Yeah.
Larry the Cable. It's funny, yeah. I was about to like criticize Jeff Foxworthy, and then you mentioned Larry the Cable Guy. I was like, yeah, I mean, compared to like a lot of the fucking Blue Collar Comedy Tour, Jeff Foxworthy's a fucking genius. Ron White was probably the best of them. Tater Salad.
Oh, Tater Salad. Yeah, I listened to one of their albums back when that was a thing. And like before I knew that, before I kind of got the context of what they were saying.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, these are some funny dudes, I guess. Because I was
Jeff Foxworthy's just off another time. He's a pretty reasonable like joke writer. Like he's not my cup of tea, but like see him.
And then I listened to like the Def Comedy Jam, and I was like, oh no, this is what I like.
I gotta say, tangentially related to Def Comedy Jam, in that like well, however many of them were left standing after Cat Williams went on Club Shay Shay, but I watched Cat Williams on Joe Rogan there the other day.
Oh, and, like, I did see that happened.
On Club Shay Shay, he's drinking whiskey, and after 20 minutes, he's nuked every comedian he ever met. And on Rogan, he's just smoking weed. And for 3 hours, they're just like, Joe, I got to tell you, the aliens are here. They really are here, you know.
I fucking love Cat Williams.
He's great. He's great.
I've loved Cat Williams since the Pimp Chronicles 1, and I will always love Cat Williams.
Pim Chronicles is one of the better stand-up specials of the last 20 years. I stand by that.
Yeah, just like, well, certainly like the second half, absolutely jazzed out. Like no one, you know what it is, and maybe this, maybe it, look, as all things do, it kind of comes back to Eddie Murphy. No one dresses up for a goddamn comedy special anymore. It was Eddie Murphy and Ron Delirious, and his goddamn Cat Williams with his comedy belt buckle, which might, in fairness, look normal size on anybody else.
He's very petite.
He is
one of the smaller people. Yeah,
he went on like, because on Club Shay Shay, he like said like he read something like 20 books a week, and then he went on Rogan and he was like, actually, it was 20 every 3 days, Joe Rogan, because the library only lets you take 20 every 3 days. So I was actually reading 50 books a week. And that's not including the Bible, which I also read, and apostolic texts and all sorts. Oh, God, I mean.
Cat, you need to, like, I'm loving where you're at, but you need to get, like, slightly closer to reality for me to tune in.
Yeah, you need, if you were to say I read 10 books a week, I'd be like, okay, you work like an hour a night. Yeah. So
it's a lot of books.
It's a lot of books.
It's a lot of books. They could be short. It could be he could love a novella.
He could.
Well, like I know people can go through books much faster than I think they can. I know there's people who speed read and whatever, and they really, I don't know if you get the same quality out of reading a book that quickly.
But yeah,
I am aware that like I don't read that quickly, and so what can sound bizarre to me is possible.
Yeah, but and like, because what they're missing out on, What they're missing out on is the reading a bit of the book, putting the bookmark in, closing it, letting it on the table, and really sitting back and just pondering that shit.
Yeah. I imagine
what just happened in that book.
I imagine Cal Williams being like, wake up, book 6 a.m. Gotta get that book read. Jesus Christ, man, I haven't even broken into the fucking double digits yet.
I'm not gonna smoke weed today. I'm gonna read the, it was the best of times. It was the blunt of times. Damn it, it's time for more weed.
I wonder if you would ask him, like, what's the best book you read this week? Every week, would he actually be able to list it?
The novelization of Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
But reproduced and made it.
You know that's just an 800-page tome. So either you watch the film or you didn't read 10 books that week.
You know, I think the massive book readers, the like speed readers, what they really miss out on. I think you were kind of halfway there, Jack, which is putting the book down, putting a bookmark in it, and watching the television. They really should be doing.
Being like, damn, this book on the legal troubles of this poor gentleman in the 1980s is really, it's terrible. But you know, God, Suits is a good ass show. And
the first couple of seasons are very watchable, Joe Rogan. I know.
Deeply watchable for seasons, Joe Rogan, because they didn't put no man in a dress. You can't believe how many times they asked me. They offered me $200,000, 12 hours work to wear a dress. I said, God damn you, Joe Rogan. I said, fuck you, Joe Rogan.
There are elements within the black comedy community that are very animated by the dress wearing question.
What's the dress wearing question? Now, I am not as familiar with either interview.
There's other people talk about it other than Cat Williams, although he kind of tied the bow on it a little bit. The idea is that like white Hollywood will only let you. Sometimes they say something other than white. Sometimes they use it.
those damn reptilian.
Yeah, those damn New Yorkers that they
are. East Coast type. Yeah. That near New York.
But Cedric the Entertainer, Hollywood's in California. Yeah, run by New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the idea is that like white Hollywood won't let a black man like succeed until they get him to like wear a dress. So that they know that he'll play ball, because like he'll wear the dress or do anything.
Has Denzel wore a dress?
He wore a training bra in that film, Training Bra. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
And King Kong ain't got a bra on me.
Yeah, I can't remember if Denzel wore a dress. I don't think so. But I don't know. I'm not as well versed in who's worn the dress as Cat Williams.
As Cat Williams seems to be. I'm sure. Yeah, James Earl Jones. Like, do we need to go back to like the 60s? I was like, James Earl Jones did wear a dress for like 10 years straight there.
Yeah. When they were trying to get him to do Darth Vader originally, they were like, okay, well, he's gonna either have to just be the voice, or we need to make Darth Vader wear a dress, because I don't know. James is gonna fit into this thing.
He's not gonna get in it, guys. Just cut the front off, make it a cape. But
you're looking for a Eddie lot Murphy, of
Martin Lawrence,
yeah. Will Smith, Chris Rock.
He gave a specific example of, I think it was like he was offered a part in like Big Mama's House 2 and he turned it down, and the guy who took it, he was like, and they made him wear the dress and no one has respected that man since. Look at his career.
And his point of Martin Lawrence.
That guy did an interview a couple like the next week and be like, yeah, he's kind of right. Like, maybe it was the dress and maybe it was like not everyone succeeds, but like that was the last big thing I did.
Probably not everyone succeeds. Like,
no, everyone succeeds. No, they do.
Ah, yeah. Sorry, of course, everyone succeeds.
That's why this is currently on CNN at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
We probably have the same listenership as CNN as viewers at this point. Sorry, I've been listening to Kid Rock's podcast. He's very animated about CNN. I don't know, yeah, because his problem with Martin Lawrence as well was like, you wore the dress once, Martin. You did Big Mama's House. Why do you have to do the sequel? You know, you proved that you'd wear the dress.
Yeah. But then it was just like, how much fucking money did they pay you to wear the dress a second time?
A lot.
Like, I'm sure Martin Lawrence is absolutely furious at how he let himself down. He'll probably sit around any of the many rooms in that house it bought him and think about what he's done.
No, you're right. And that's a big house it bought him. And
I got a box.
I thought it was Big Mama and it was her house. Mama and her big house.
No, the thing is, Mama lost the weight and then the OnlyFans started popping off. So yeah. Mama's house was the thing that became big.
Mama's big house. Previously large mother's big home where she now... Well, Martin, we promised you a big house, but unfortunately the deed is in Big Mama's name, so I guess you're going to have to wear the dress a little longer, Martin. So I don't know. What it did enlighten me was that there's all these comedians who I had no idea how big they were, because they're just, like, their audience is black people, and that, like, Cedric the Entertainer is, like, I knew he was big before. I had no idea he was still big. He's like...
He's still alive?
Yeah, Cedric's still alive. Bernie Mac.
Yeah, you're thinking of Bernie Mac.
Yeah. I am thinking of Bernie Mac, yeah.
And like Steve Harvey, who like I only know from...
Bruce Bruce. Huh?
Bruce, is he dead?
I don't know, but I know he's one of those people who I'm like, oh, I heard of him once. I think he might still be alive. Yeah,
Bruce is still alive. Ralphie May is dead.
Yeah, Ralphie May is dead. But like...
the other famous black comedian, Ralphie May.
Yeah, famous black comedian, Ralphie May. But there's like, yeah, like so successful.
And like Eddie Griffin is still huge. Like I hadn't heard of Eddie Griffin in like 10 years and he's still massive.
But you also, but like Dane Cook is still huge.
Is he?
Dane Cook is still doing big arenas and small stadiums.
Really?
Yeah. Like
that does surprise me.
And then maybe he's not doing them as frequently or, you know, but like, Dane Cook is still fucking massive.
He was enormous. Very quick.
He was hands down the biggest comedian in the world for like a year.
He kind of had an Andrew Dice Clay quality about him in that sense, that it was just like, and here from nothing to like Madison Square Garden to, I guess not nothing, but...
Well, he's sort of the Matt Rife of his time. Like, I feel like Matt Rife is having that same arc now, but I just think Matt Rife is fucking great. I think his first special was really good. I think the one they put on Netflix was middling at best.
It's the problem with getting big quick. It's like, you know, it's mostly positives, but it's like, what are you going to do for us now?
Yeah.
Because it can happen. You can have a special in you.
Oh, I think Matt Rife is just genuinely really good. I just think the special he put out was like, here's 40 minutes of comedy and here's 20 minutes of talking about why comedy's so important. I'm like,
yeah, that's the problem.
You were so good because you didn't do that. You were a show not tell kind of guy. And then
someone who's been around a bit longer, at a bigger level a bit longer, would have said when the contract for that next special came up, would have said, no, I don't have one. You know, it's not. You can play a big game. He got into trouble over something as well, over a joke that I didn't hear, and I don't know, people like that I couldn't bring myself to care. He's not my type of comedian anyway, so it's like, you know.
Oh man, if you watch his OnlyFans special, it's really really good.
I refuse to watch anything but pornography on OnlyFans. I only have
The special is called OnlyFans.
All right. Because OnlyFans did try. OnlyFans did dip their toe into doing things that weren't porn. They did.
No, it tried to like be like no more porn, guys. And then I think a week later it was like, sorry, we actually we ran the numbers on this and
we missed some punctuation here.
Well, they were trying to raise venture capital money. They were trying to raise venture capital money, and a lot of the big VC firms have a no adult content policy. So they had to. They were like, oh, maybe we'll see if we can make this work. But it wasn't started as a porn thing. There's a friend of mine in wrestling who's in the titties business, and she's mates with the guy who founded it. And he was just like, he just happened to be friends with a load of like glamour models and Page Three girls and like girls that work for Babe Station and that kind of thing. And he was like, if there's really hot women on this, people might join it. And they were like, yeah, sure, fine. We might make a few quid. We'll help out our mate. Grand. And then they all started making fucking loads of money, and it just became the tits thing.
That's an interesting parallel. That's an interesting parallel to heroin, because originally that was not actually supposed to be about drugs. It's just the guy who founded heroin. He had a load of friends who were junkies. So what he did was he just started selling them heroin, and it just made so much money that it just became the flat. That's what they did.
I just think that there was a lot of people trying to sell tits, and the reason that one did was because it had tits to sell, not because it was trying to sell tits.
Yeah,
I think it steered into the skin real fucking hard on that. That's why there's no homepage to OnlyFans. Incredible design decision.
Wait, there's no homepage?
There certainly wasn't when I looked at it several years ago, but maybe there is now.
But what does it have instead of a homepage?
Nothing. It has a sign up page.
Yeah, you need a link.
You have to sign up to an individual. There is no feed for OnlyFans. There is just it puts all the onus on the creator, the model, whatever, to publicize their stuff, and then it's OnlyFans is very much a platform, not a product.
Do you reckon that the OnlyFans people, there was certainly it was probably, I don't know if necessary, but very helpful to their business model that all of the Tumblr porn went away, all of the like.
Oh, I would say very helpful to their business model. I'd say that was an excellent thing for them. Yeah.
Based on my recommendations on Instagram, I think it helped a lot of other apps. Because the thing is, being like most of the people at this point I follow on Instagram are wrestling people. So like my recommended is just bikini models and Theo Von. That's like literally that's all it is. It's just tits and Theo Von.
I mean, and when's Theo Von gonna like fucking bite the cherry?
When's he gonna show the beehole? Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah, pussy and bio from Theo Von.
It is a shame that the Tumblr porn went, not because it was particularly good quality, but because it was the last and potentially only bastion of these, like, and I say this with love, these freaks who were just in it for the love of putting pictures of themselves
In it for the love of the game.
They were in it for the love of the game.
That's on Reddit now. I think the love of the game stuff is on very specific, like, small Reddits or something.
I haven't delved that deeply into it, but any of the previous parts of Reddit that were for porn, not that I'd know what any of them are. Come on. Yeah. But any of them are now just, it's all just like, whoa, send it to my OnlyFans. You can see
more. Yeah, it adds for OnlyFans.
I have yet to find something that was just, because God bless them, they were making nothing off it. They just loved putting pictures of themselves up.
And they're like, I could be doing this professionally.
Yeah, and they just, I just like doing this. And it's the most ethical way to consume pornography. You can't just search in, like, I want to see anal, blowjob, whatever. You just be like, here's Kitty Sheila. Cat 55.
What's Sheila up to? Like,
what's Sheila doing? Oh, interesting. And it's, I'm sure there was, like, because it was probably completely unregulated, so there probably was a bunch of stuff on there that people didn't want on there. Like, people just uploading like revenge porn or whatever, but there were like creators just putting up the baps, just fucking putting on the wrists, putting out the baps, and that's gone now. And it's a simpler time compared to now, a much more complicated time compared to but a few years before. It's an age of things. So bring back the Tumblr porn, I say, bring it back, because don't it always seem to go? That you don't know what
you got till it's gone.
They paved Tumblr to put up an OnlyFans. it's a shame. OnlyFans is going to have to consolidate like the cable companies. You're going to have to be able to buy packages. No, not that type of packages. I know you can buy those already. Are there male creators on OnlyFans making money?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Because I'll leave all the names out, but I had a friend who, again, a gal in wrestling who's not in the titties business at all, apart from being in wrestling, which is basically the titties
business. Slightly titty business, titty-ish. Yeah.
Who kind of like at a show was just like semi taking the piss, chatting with a couple of lads, and they were like, okay, there's three of us, a girl and two guys, who are going to start an OnlyFans, and they just keep promoting each other's OnlyFans until they all made 3,000 quid, and then they'd shut them down. And like they did was like they didn't like show anything that they wouldn't put on Instagram. They just like took it, maybe like a little bit more like wink and a nudge kind of sexy stuff, but like nothing that you wouldn't happily put out in public. And she shut down her OnlyFans in 2 weeks.
Fair play to her.
Right, $3,000 in 2 weeks. Called it.
Are the people who are basically putting up nothing that they wouldn't put on Instagram? Is it, and people are buying it? Is that just like misaimed creep? Well, not creepy weirdos who like think that they're being those person's friend by giving
yes,
them.
Yes, that's 100%. So one of the things that OnlyFans does, and again, I've never been on either side of it, but from talking to mostly like women in wrestling who do it, is like you'll send like a 2 minute video message to people every week or month or something. And that's a personal thing, even if it's not individualized, it's like it's private to that group. And sometimes you'll get people who'll be like, this week's message was only 90 seconds, where's the other 30 seconds of what I paid for? And it's like some people do really see it as like a very transactional service to feel close to people. But yes, you're very much paying for you can get tits for free on Pornhub. You're paying for access and you're paying for this like even legitimate intimacy.
Yeah.
You're paying for this like kind of weird surrogate intimacy thing.
The guy who's going, that was only 60 seconds, where's the other 30 seconds that I paid for? That's a weird like creepy control thing.
That's a weird thing.
Where's it? You do it. I gave you something. Now you're mine.
The worst kind of creepy control thing is, and this happened to a friend who very much had two different personas. She had her adult content persona and her wrestling persona, and they were separate. And her adult stuff was her full time job, and wrestling was the hobby. One or two fans would like come up to her at shows and be like, I know what you do. They'd be like,
oh, no. Jesus Christ.
They'd be like, I know about your other job, in kind of like a semi-threatening, semi-creepy way. And then actually someone in wrestling who is like famously not a great person, she started commenting under like posts with like links to OnlyFans stuff, or like, here's how to find her OnlyFans. And
we're rich of to be behaving that way.
I'll tell you the name of that person after we stop recording, but okay. Is now a contracted major organization wrestler who when I was in a room with people when news broke, when like in insider news went around that she might be getting signed, pints were thrown on the floor because everyone hated her so much. It was really entertaining. But like absolutely it's what you're saying, Mattis. It is a kind of a power thing. And eventually she was just like, yeah, you gotta own it. Like it's difficult to keep those two things separate. You kind of have to just own the whole lot, and like eventually broke
out. And then that weirdo has no power then. I mean,
exactly.
You never want to and she's figured it out anyway on her own, but it's like you never want to go to like, because it can get into like victim blaming territory, but you do want to be like, you do hope someone is educating people out there. And look, it's not fair that it's this way, but this way is such that it is. It should be different. It ain't. Sorry, you know.
Yeah, and there is no one doing that education. There is just like there is just people in locker rooms or in pubs who are talking about when it happened to them. And everyone figures it out pretty fucking sharpish, because it gets real clear real fast. Yeah.
You do feel for anyone who was early to it, who, because like the gimmick is that it is a separate thing, that it'll exist for these people and it won't bleed into any other part of your life. That's the selling point of a service like that, right? So you do feel a little bit for somebody who got into it early. And really probably didn't, I don't know, fully comprehend what was going on. And then it's like,
I know what you do at your other job.
What a fucking sap.
It does. I mean, like, it's only fans, guys. That's not what a fan does.
Yeah, it's not. It's not only haters.
It's not only haters. It's not only creeps. Come on, it's guys.
But it's like people who. It's like I've actually never.
Onlyhaters.com is available.
It is.
Yes, that's amazing. That's the
purchase it. It'll be 10 grand, but purchase it. You have 10 grand. Or maybe you don't. And sell part of your house. Sell the roof. You don't need it.
Summer's coming, man. You don't need your house. You don't need the roof.
I've never subscribed to OnlyFans. But not through any moral objection to it. I just never have. You know, like, people who, like, do subscribe and then they post the stuff for free elsewhere?
What
the hell?
Like titty piracy?
Oh yeah,
titty piracy.
Now some of it,
they're plundering booty, all right.
Pussy plundering out here.
Some of the stuff that is purported to be people leaking stuff from OnlyFans is in fact the creator themselves doing it to give a little hint for what's available, and then you maybe want to come in and do it. Undoubtedly, there are forums. Yeah. There are forums out there with, like, creepy dudes who are like, okay, I've got Bingley Booze OnlyFans, and here's all the download them quickly before this gets nuked, and, like, people are pirating the titties. And you just, even from, like, a selfish perspective, you want someone to pull them aside and go, guys, you're fucking ruining it for the rest of us. Like, they're not gonna, like, nothing good's gonna get posted if you fucking keep doing
it.
Same way, if there's a creator you really liked and you walk up to them in real life and go, fucking know what you do in your other job. So, well, they're probably gonna not do it now. You just ruined it for. Why aren't the other perverts at least, like, pulling these guys aside? Go, buddy, we like to see the tatas.
The true sign of a society is self-policing, and unfortunately, the perverts are not a society.
Yeah. Actually, the odd part is those people walking up to those women and going, we know what you do at your other job. They're probably the more sociable of the only.
Yeah, they're the ones who are out here talking.
Wow. That's growth, guys. You managed to be a silent creep, and now you're a talking creep. I mean, it's a step in the wrong direction, but it's growth for you.
Yeah, it's like, I think Jordan B. Peterson's book gets a lot of undue criticism because most of it's pretty good advice, if a touch rudimentary. But I would say there are people who shouldn't take the advice. Why don't you just pick up one bit of garbage out of your room and maybe go for a walk? No, you don't go for a walk, sir.
You stay in the garbage thrown room.
Stay in the garbage room, you. Don't go. You've got a lot to answer for, JP Peterson. stop enabling these creeps to walk. And, you know, he walked up to me and I was so upset. I get emotional when I say this. He walked up to me and he said, I know what you do in your other job, Jordan. I just needed to show my holes. Well, not so fast, bucko. Okay, different, not bloody likely. Angry Terry Jordan Peterson is the best Jordan Peterson. I've fallen out of love with him somewhat since my infatuation with Tucker has taken over. But
you only got room in your heart for one kind of hilarious nut job.
I really do, and I'm waiting for his next
weird sounding, oddly into, like, culture wars.
I have a type. There is no doubt about it. You're not getting me that easy, Ben Shapiro. You're only pretending to be into that stuff. you're really a Biden shill, I'm told. That's a big insult in the community if you're a Biden shill.
In the community, he said.
The community, yeah.
What can I ask about this? What community?
If you have to ask, then you cannot be told. Judeo-Christian values. I'm Ben Shapiro.
Speaking
quickly and condescending to people. He's the worst one. I have no enjoyment of Ben Shapiro. He's the worst. I dislike him. He's a loser. And people think he's intelligent and, like, he's not dumb, but it's like, oh no, I've met people like you. You're just a debater. That's all. You're a debating geek. You're just a little weasel from the Hist who made money somehow.
I don't have to take you seriously. I know people like you who are better than you at the thing, and therefore they don't do the thing. Ben Shapiro destroy. You never see Ben Shapiro destroys Ricky McCormack, because it would never happen. Eat his fucking lunch. Yeah, well, Ben, I suppose that's fairly reasonable if you've never seen a vagina in real life. Well, have you know, I am married. My point stands, mate.
I don't have any kids, though, do you? Yeah, you fucking frigid virgin.
I have several children, Judeo-Christian values. I have lots of kids. Well, my wife does. I'm certain they are mine.
I am certain they are mine.
As if they were not, you would have to tell me. We swore wedding vows. Judeo-Christian values.
Judeo-Christian values.
They're coming to take our children. This is what they want. Bless his little cotton yarmulke.
Is he a Judeo or a Christian?
Oh, he's a Judeo, and he wants.
Oh, sorry, Shapiro. Sorry, yeah.
He wears that little yarmulke. Like yarmulke. Any of my Jewish friends only wear those like when they're going to temple. He just wears it like all the time.
Because if you stay ready, you don't gotta get ready. You know, he's always going to temple.
It's true. I'm a member of various different sects. We have temple on every day. Every day is a Sabbath. I don't know how I work my computer. I can never turn it off. This is why I'm on YouTube.
If any of you come up and say, I know what you're about your other job, I'm going to tell you that I also know about your other job as a Biden chill.
If you haven't seen his attempted takedown of Wet Ass Pussy by Cardi B,
it's excellent. It's very good.
I've never seen something backfire on a guy so quickly.
Let me guess. Like, I don't think I've seen this, but let me guess. He just reads the lyrics for a while.
No. Nope.
If only he'd stop there.
Yeah. Oh. Even better. At this point, but Jack, I mean, you really got to go back. He essentially says, if you have to grab a bucket and a mop for your pussy, I mean, my wife's a doctor, something's wrong with you. And can you imagine how the internet would react to Ben Shapiro saying a woman shouldn't be wet?
let me just hold the mic slightly closer to my face.
Empirical evidence, vaginas are not wet. I have seen several, they never were.
If you've got to get
it's just the most glorious cell phone. It was so good.
That's really excellent.
I also, and I haven't seen it because the cringe is too much, and that's saying a lot. There's a rap artist who has a song with Ben Shapiro.
Oh gosh.
Oh, it's that white guy who's like, if Yellow Wolf was bad at rapping.
Yellow Wolf.
Okay.
Oh, come on. You're giving me too much credit
if you think I have any fucking clue who Yellow Wolf is.
Oh, he's just one of those.
Is it Tom McDonald? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yes, that's exactly who it is. Exactly,
yeah.
I've only seen stills from the video. I don't think my face could take it. The cringe. Yeah.
Oh, if you need a good workout, like just in your face. I listen to the Benji Shapiro bit of that.
It takes more muscles to smile than it does to frown, or whatever the opposite of that is, but to watch that video I think probably takes
your body will convulse, you know. It's kind of like those ab machines they used to sell in the 90s, except you'll just turn out like super ripped everywhere. Just the cringe will just like jolt your muscles.
Do you want to guess what the song is called?
Judeo-Christian values.
Bibi Netanyahu. I'm the real Netanyahu. All you other Netanyahus are just not part of this.
Is it go woke, go broke? Is it
liberal tears are delicious? Liberal tears for fears. I don't know.
It's almost more fundamental. The song is called Facts.
Oh, they don't care. Do they, can I ask you, Jack, do those facts care about your feelings?
They seem to not.
They do not.
They seem to care little about it.
Spoiler alert, they do not.
Sorry, I'm just reading some of the lyrics that I just
come on, Jack, hit us.
Okay, the opening stanza. And we're going to go with stanza, not verse, because verses are for music, and this is clearly something else.
This is poetry.
They call me offensive, controversial. There's only two genders, boys and girls. They can't cancel my message because I'm the biggest independent rapper in the whole freaking world.
Same that I'm racist.
Yeah, right. I'm not ashamed because I'm white.
I mean, a lot of good messages in there.
In a very brief six lines, anti-trans and white supremacy.
I gotta tell you, he should not be ashamed because he's white. He should be ashamed because of that terrible verse.
He should be ashamed because he's a really shit rapper.
Not very well. Hang on, maybe his flow, you know, the lyrics written that maybe the flow makes up for it.
Maybe the flow. Let me just, I'm gonna just listen to this in the back
featuring Snoop Dogg. What?
I mean, if you pay him a quarter mil, he'll jump on anything, you know?
I'm not sure the DOGG read the fine print. Are you doing something with it there, Jack? Are you? Oh, he's collaborating.
Oh, my God, he's shredded. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, man, his face is so ripped. They put an ab cruncher on it. Look. We should put one of those live reaction videos on YouTube that were so popular 10 years ago. That'll get us in the news.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that that's probably more popular now than ever. Yeah, it's go woke, go broke, no hope. It's pathetic. Pro-choice, pronouns, pro-love, you're progressives. I'm like, if you're to just...
It doesn't seem to insult them the way I think he thinks it does.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it just seems... Other than the go woke, go broke, and you're pathetic is an insult. I'll give him that. But the rest of the lines are not.
He's like, all your transgenders look fantastic in your dresses.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but ooh.
Oh, damn, you got us.
Yeah, it makes me ask questions about how I feel about genitals because your face to me is pretty. Shit, that doesn't even rhyme. Oh, no.
I don't think that seems to be bothering Mr. McDonald too much. Does Ben Shapiro just stand there in the video, or does he take the mic?
He absolutely must take the mic. And now I have to flick through this video to find when the man wearing the facts hoodie starts rapping. Okay, leave it with me.
The cops came through, me and Dre surrendered without complaint because we believe in law and order and Judeo-Christian values.
Okay, so. Okay, here it is. Okay, I think this is all him. And to be clear, in the music video, it's him at some sort of like news desk, but he's also on like a bunch of like old school CRT TVs that are behind Tom McDonald in the cutaways.
Yeah, like Max Headroom.
God. Okay. Well, I don't want to do his accent. Let's look at the stats. I've got the facts. My money like Lizzo. My pockets are fat. My home income ethic. Don't be a wap. Dog, it's Yarmulke. Homie, no cap. I assume that's a Jewish
friend. Yarmulke.
Yarmulke, yeah.
Oh, that's how that's spelled. Dog.
Yeah, I know.
Yarmulke. Yeah.
It's a Yarmulke. Sorry, there we go. There you go. Okay. I'm going to come in positive. I learned something from this song.
And Shapiro is a loser.
Yeah. With the yarmulke or without. Look at the graphs. Look at my charts. You're blowing money on strippers and cars. You're going to prison. I'm on television. Dog, no one knows who you are.
I don't think you could describe what Ben Shapiro's on as television.
I hate to break it, I hate to break it to you, Gavin, but in this music video, he's actually on almost a dozen televisions.
Oh, he got me.
All stacked in this generic industrial looking background. So I don't know if argue it, with those facts. Keep on hating me on the internet. My comments section, all woke Karens, and I make racks off compound interests. Y'all live with your parents. Nikki, take some notes. I did this just for fun. All my people, download this. Let's get a billboard number one.
Like Q Ron Howard. They did not.
Q Ron Howard is a really good burn. It's a really good burn format, and we should use it for people who are more relevant than Ben Shapiro.
We should.
I mean, God bless him. That's compound interest as well. That's good that he brought that up. Nothing makes me respect a man more than passive income acquisition.
Sorry, yeah. Could we also read out the compound interest line again? Because I don't actually think it had a point. He just wanted to say compound interest.
Yeah.
You know when you learn a new word and you just
want to Yeah, that's it. I spit facts. Compound interest. You're in prison. Like, it's...
I mean, those... Okay, good man, Ben. This is...
Who is this for, apart from us?
Us and them. There are five people who are getting anything out of this. Tom McDonald, Ben Shapiro, and us.
Like, you would barely tolerate this if you already thought that Ben Shapiro was awesome. You'd probably just about put up with it. And, like, if you're on the fence at all, you'd be like, this guy's fucking lame.
So keep hating on me on the internet, my comments section, all woke Karens. And I make wrecks off compound interest, and y'all live with your parents.
It's
him making money. Okay.
I'll say I learned a second thing.
But it's kind of a non sequitur.
I also learned a second thing from this, which is that both sides of the political spectrum in the US believe that Karens exist on the other side.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Can I also point out that, like, have you ever been in a Ben Shapiro comment section? I've never come across a woke person in it ever once. They're all Manus, people who like
I am really proud to say, no, I have not.
You got to get in the trenches, Jack. It's just way... It's unlike World War One. It's fucking way more fun in the trenches. For these that, you don't want to be...
That's a really good intro to a rap verse probably about the same basic subject matter as this song.
You don't want to be in Field Marshal Haig's office sipping brandy for this one. You know, you want to be in the fucking trenches. That's where it's fun, man. That's where it's good.
So I suppose you think that means I should vote for Joe Biden.
You're a loser. You're a loser, Ben. You're not cool.
Yeah.
Your rapping is terrible. Well,
Trump to call him a loser to his face. Because, I mean, there's one thing Trump's good for. It's insulting people on his side.
think about this for 2 seconds. Donald Trump definitely thinks Ben Shapiro's a loser. There's no way if they... like
100%. Trump is a bully. Yeah, yeah.
Trump is a school bully, and Ben Shapiro is the bullied.
There's
no way if he's being honest with himself. He's not like, you're a loser. Your rep is terrible.
Ben Shapiro and Donald Trump were in a room with 10,000 other people, Donald Trump would find a way to bully Ben Shapiro. Like, he'd be patient zero.
This guy thinks that he can go on YouTube and rap about it. I'm doing it. I don't know. People are telling me it's not very good.
I don't know if the Trump's getting better or if I'm convincing myself it doesn't matter that it's not good.
You're right. It doesn't matter. Bill Clinton didn't sound like I do him either. Oh well. That was interesting. That was informative. And we didn't even have to bring up the unpleasantness in Ben Shapiro's love life.
Oh, go on.
No, nothing. He just thinks a moist vagina is a medical problem.
Oh, right.
And isn't there something about Ben Shapiro wanting to ride his sister?
Have you seen his sister?
He's only human.
Ben Shapiro, here we go. Here's my major concern. I've now done two back-to-back Ben Shapiro Googles, and my algorithm is going to be absolutely diabolical for the next 2 weeks.
YouTube in general loves Ben Shapiro.
Also, the autocomplete is Ben. It goes two things: Ben Shapiro net worth, Ben Shapiro sister.
Yeah, I mean, he has a famous cousin as well.
Go on.
No, this isn't a joke. Mara Wilson, who was Matilda, is Ben Shapiro's cousin.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think she shares. In fact, I know for a fact she doesn't share his political beliefs.
Let me tell you, the autocomplete on Mara Wilson now for me is Mara Wilson and Ben Shapiro. Yeah, cousin. Yeah,
they do a rap together as well.
She has dis she has disavowed. I'm gonna go right ahead and say that Ben Shapiro's sister. Not like not unattractive, sure, but like not like fuck your sister levels of attractive.
No, but no, obviously not.
Fundamentally you, looks like Ben Shapiro.
Who would be fuck your sister levels of hot?
Yeah, there's no.
I don't know, but apparently that must exist for him.
So no, you know, the fact that the person's your sister means you wouldn't be into them. That's what's funny about it.
It's part of the package, you know.
And it's and you know, God bless the pair of them, and Ben.
Sorry, man. That's very good. I'll be borrowing that.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh,
okay, we've foostered around a lot from having no.
We managed to get one solid joke out of that whole thing, and it was worth it.
This is all we ever ask for. It's one solid joke.
Oh,
it'll do us. Final results on those beers, gentlemen, before we completely run out of bandwidth.
I gotta say that look, Beamish really lasts if you just keep it outside for a couple of months.
Mm. Yeah.
It's still a little bit more coffee, I guess, maybe than your sort of standard Guinness, but like
could be.
For all I know,
yeah. Look, it's good. It's like a 7.5.
Nice.
Cool.
This Rye River Backstrand APA. Yeah, I stick with what I think. It's like, yeah, it's a good beer, but like, if there's 20 other things on the shelf, I'm probably picking up 15 of them more regularly than I would this. Like,
yeah,
it's a 6, yeah. I suppose. 5.5, fuck it.
Yeah, probably would have.
Little Gab, give it a 5.5.
No, but it probably, it's kind of the type of one that probably would have scored like higher in the first like 100 episodes when we just hadn't, just wasn't the same amount of stuff.
Yeah.
There were exactly gonna be 15 beers on the shelf. That might be the one if it, you know, so it's
yeah.
Before embrace the shitty scores.
Relevant.
Yeah. He doesn't like us anyway. Don't fucking
exactly.
Fucking at least we could be their enemy if we can.
We got nothing to prove.
Yeah, well, as much we should prove, but nothing we can, I suppose.
Nothing we can prove. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing to be proven, but lots of the people wish we would.
Yeah, Your Honor, I have nothing to prove except my ignorance. That's a sort of Wildean quote that I'm just about to appropriate there. This is if Oscar Wilde said it. Actually, Oscar Wilde doesn't have to have said a thing. You just have to be willing to put a portrait of him behind it on Instagram. And then it seems like he said it.
Exactly.
As Oscar Wilde once said,
I wouldn't subscribe to any other fans that would have me as a part of it, Oscar Wilde.
I wouldn't want to be an OnlyFans fan of someone who would message me back on OnlyFans.
I don't want to be an OnlyFans fan of someone who I know what they fucking do for their other job.
I know what you do for your other job.
I know what you do for your
other. Sorry, the creepiest thing in the world. Would it have been saved? You said, I know what you do for your other job. You're a professional wrestler, apparently. Whoa!
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good joke, and I'm definitely going to say that to her next time I see her.
It's kind of mid, but like it would turn it from like creepy to like I was trying to make a joke.
I've got to tell you, those jokes that hinge on turning something from creepy to being a joke, you so frequently don't get to do the second part before. Hey, come here. No, it's funny.
Hold on, let me be a creep for a second. The punchline's going to be fucking amazing.
Trust me, this lariness is going to turn into comedy so fast.
This is the worst possible part of this joke for you to walk away on. Come back. He just kept shouting at me to come back immediately. Come back, I say. He kept saying, I don't know. I don't know about this guy. Yes, that's right. I'll tell AEW. There'll be no contracts for anyone. Yeah. All right. Well, I really only leaves us one thing to cheers to, and I'd say
really, you've done it while I was trying to not pee, and now I'm peeing.
That's fine. It's I'll edit it out in post.
Yeah,
I know that you won't. I just know that won't.
And cut.
Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.